If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
We are live with the Completely Unnecessary Podcast for Wednesday, December 4th, 2013, alongside my compadre, sometimes friend, sometimes foe, Ian Ferguson.
Hello, it's episode 8.
I think it is. My name is Pat Contry. And how are we doing out there in internet land? How are you doing, Ian?
I'm just dandy. How about you?
Dandy?
Dandy.
It's better than the usual.
Delightful?
Lethargic and wishing for death.
Fantastic. I'm not ever wishing for death.
You just seem to be. That's just, you're projecting that feeling off.
I'm a laid back individual.
A laid back?
My legs say otherwise.
You're still in Jedi mode, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been an episode without the hoodie? I think one there was. The first one there wasn't a hoodie.
There was no hoodie in the last one.
Back in August when we were in the one episode in my room with the giant Mario in the background, which is funny.
That was creepy. And I don't always wear the hoodie. I just wear it a lot.
So coming up in the show, we're going to discuss Wonder Woman has been cast in Batman vs. Superman. We'll talk about that a little bit. Twitch shutting down the PS4 Playroom game. We're going to talk about that. It's going to be a shorter one tonight. We're also going to be doing a Q&A, hashtag CU podcast on Twitter, if you want us to answer a question. Some announcements. Ian and I, we got our tickets booked for MAGFest.
Yay.
Took me 3 years to get you out there, but finally it's happening.
Mm-hmm. So, I still don't know why or how.
You're going to have a lot of fun. You're going to be making pins, you said, to give out and or sell.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd sell them. I mean, maybe if you don't want to hunt me down. But I was thinking about doing 4 different pins, one for each day, just because it would be funny. And I don't know.
Like Comic-Con exclusive?
I'll just leave. I'll leave the leftovers in bathrooms at the end of the day. But I was thinking I would do 4. Basically, it would be video game cartridges with tacos on them. And I would. I'm hoping to have my girlfriend help me draw these. I would do a PC Engine card. I would do a Game Boy cartridge, a Neo Geo Pocket Color cartridge, and a Genesis cartridge, because those are my 4 favorite systems.
Same label or different labels?
Probably different. Different. You know, whatever.
What's an idea you might have had for one?
Oh, they're just quick little doodles. I mean, they're going to be 1-inch buttons, so it's not going to be much more than like
going to be doodling them?
I have an idea in my head, but I'm going to need someone like Vonnie to help me because I have no artistic talent.
Draw.
Oh, yes, she can draw very well.
I can't draw. In my head, I'm like, I can draw, and then you start doing it, and I'm like a 4-year-old.
Yeah, I can see it. If I could just imprint the image, that would be great. But yeah, no,
that's
I can't.
It's like, music. I can hum great themes in my head, and I'm like, wish I could just put that down somehow.
Yeah.
Got to work on that app. So yeah, I think I'm going to be a part of a few panels. We're going to be part of a couple panels. The Retroware TV panel, which will be coming back probably. It will be coming back. We just want official confirmation. Video Game Collecting 101, which is a panel that I first did. Was that at SGC in June, I believe? Was that the first one? And then I've done it also at Com Bravo. And I might have done it somewhere else. I want to say I've done it a third time. But anyway, that's going to be a panel.
I think that's going to be a fun one. For me, because I'm not generally seen as the type of I don't call myself a collector. I'm not seen as a collector, but as a person who manages a video game retail store, there are tips I have. There are things that I can bring up that people might not think of that you can actually find for at like a retail store that's a good deal. So that should be an interesting one. It should be fun for sure.
And then there's another panel that I'm not liberty to say yet what it is. It'll probably be announced in a couple of weeks max, but it'll probably, I don't want to say it's going to make waves, but it'll be one that you want to see. I'll just say that. I can't go into too much more detail now, but a lot of preps going into it, I'm just going to say. So besides that, a new Flea Market Madness just came out a few days ago. I've been having problems getting the YouTube version up for some weird reason, where it's like cutting off at the end. It's like cutting off couple of frames at the price comparison stuff. Anyway, number 16, that's up at my site right now, thepunkeffect.com and retrowaretv.com. And this episode, I actually bought some stuff that was decent. I remember in 15, I didn't buy anything. So it's one of those weird things. Usually I have such a good sense of, like back when I used to do it, like these are the ones I shot 2 years ago that I'm editing now. I had a sense for when to shoot them. I wasn't shooting every week. I honestly would get ideas of, okay, this week's going to be bad. This week's going to be good. And 95% of the time it actually worked that way. In 15, though, it didn't work. I I filmed, and I filmed with Frank, and I bought like three things, and one was like the little freaking candy mushroom thing that cost like 50 cents. You know, like that was all I got. But volume 16 is a good one. Check it out if you haven't. Besides that, my website, I have like literally about 28 new contributors on the site. And so now there's like three posts a day on the site. There's news posts for gaming news, some movie news. The announcement today, the voice actors for both Tails and Luigi from the Super Mario Brothers cartoons died within the past few days. So we can talk about that real quick. But my only experience with that is I watched the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. I never really watched the Super Mario World or Super Mario 3 cartoons. I don't know if you did. But anyway, that actor died. He was 72, so it's not as surprising. The other actor, the Tails actor, was only 48. And he had just appeared in a lot of recent movies. Like, he actually was a film actor, too. He was in TV shows. So that's more of a shock. Probably something you can't speculate, but 48 has got to be something nasty, or a stroke or cancer or something. Like, that's just way too young.
Sure.
Speaking of way too young, Paul Walker passed away. I think it was Friday he passed away. And we talked about a little bit before about it affected me. Not that I was crying about it, but it sort of hit me for some weird reason. And you, it didn't hit at all.
I think it's not that I'm cold or heartless. It's just that I have no real awareness of what it was he did or done. I saw the first Fast and the Furious, but it was, there is something strange, I think, as we get older and we see people that are our age or close to our age who start to pass away, and because it's odd, because it's not usual, and I think that's why this might have affected a lot of people. By all accounts, I heard he was a really nice guy who did a lot of charitable works, too, which would really affect people. Like I said, it's not to be mean, just I don't know anything about him, so it's a shame, but I did see a lot of outpouring over it over the weekend.
I think it was one of those things, it was a combination of things. A lot of people grew up with them, because you think about it, the first Fast and Furious movie was like 12 years ago. Like, it was a long time ago.
Sure.
So you have that. It was 2001, I believe. So a lot of people literally grew up with him. Like, every 2 years, you're seeing him in one of the biggest movies of the year. They've all been huge movies. And he carried the franchise. Vin Diesel, remember, left to the first one. He was like, I'm done with this. Vin Diesel thought he was going to be this big actor who was going to do a bunch of different roles.
Right.
After he did Chronicles of Riddick and Fast and the Furious. He didn't do any sequels after that. Remember, the next Riddick sequel just came out now, right? Or is it coming out? I don't know if it even came out. But anyway, that's just coming out now. And then he was gone, done with the Fast and Furious movies for like 6 years after that, 7 years after that.
Yeah, it took them forever to get him back in.
But so Walker carried the franchise for the second one, and it survived, and three was totally different, and then he comes back for the fourth, Vin Diesel. So, but I think it was that. I think that's what affected people. Like, you know, he died when he was 40, and it's like, wow, he looked like he was like 25 in the first movie, 24. He looked so young. So I think that was a part of it. Like, a lot of people actually grew up with them. Like, think of people that are 11 years old, 13,
right,
seeing the first one, growing up with them, and now he's gone.
And that's the other thing. People who are younger than us, who maybe saw that. Yeah, sure. In cars and that sort of racing and that scene was big. And by all accounts, I've heard for a series of quote-unquote crappy movies, I've heard that a lot of the Fast and the Furious movies are fairly decent. So that,
what's amazing about it is the last two have gotten really good critical reviews. Like, so 5 and 6 are like, if you look at the trend of them, like, the first one was okay, second one gets panned, third one's fourth one's but then it gets to the fifth one, like, wow, fifth is good, wow, sixth is good. Like, they got the formula down for not just...
I hear they pay attention to their own mythology very well.
Yeah.
So, anyways, but back to him, yeah, so I could see why that would... that would create an impact on a large number of people.
I mean, he was in a lot of other movies that, I mean, he was the type of person, I think, that acted within his range. So he wasn't trying to do, like basically like how Keanu Reeves was for a long time.
Sure.
Where it was like, I know what I am, I'm not going to try to overdo it, but I'll be well at what I do. So he wasn't trying to go over his head. Like you said, everyone said he was a really nice guy. He was involved with charity works. He was in Flags of Our Fathers. That was a serious movie. He was in Timeline. He was in a movie come out called Hours. It's supposed to be a really dramatic movie about a father.
Oh, I did hear about that one. Yeah.
It takes place during Hurricane Katrina, I believe. And so, like, the power goes out to, like, this hospital where his kid's on, like, life support. So he has to scramble to try to save the kid. So a dramatic role. So, and I think the other one that was supposed to be really good was Joyride, that not a lot of people talk about because it came out so long ago. But Joyride was one where it was, like, a thriller where, like, these people are on joyrides, and all of a sudden there's this, like, person, maniac on the road who's following him, trying to kill him. So, like, supposed to be a pretty good movie that, like, not a lot of people have seen, like, an R-rated movie. Yeah, they get, there's a trucker, is a psychotic killer who's after them on the open road from Colorado to New Jersey, yeah. So that was another one that he's credited for. It's again, he's not acting outside of who he is.
Sure.
So it's a tragedy. That's all I wanted to say. It affected me more than I thought it would. Not that I was crying again, but it was just like, oh, come on. It's just like, that just, it just sucks. There's no point to it, you know? And a fiery death, too. That was probably not fun. Hopefully it was instant. You see the, if you saw the pictures of the wreck.
I don't look at that
car
stuff.
Car was like this big. Okay. At the end. You know. All right. So, other than that, one of the only, we were trying to think of some stuff to talk about. This happened like literally 5 or 6 days after the PlayStation 4 came out. And the PlayStation 4 has only been out for like 2.5 weeks at this point.
Right.
The PS4 Playroom, if you want to explain what that is.
So it's an augmented reality game, makes use of the PlayStation 4 camera, the eye, where you interact. Basically, the camera shoots you and puts you on screen so that you can see yourself basically interacting with all these little robots and mm-hmm. stuff in your living room.
You can hit them and stuff.
Yeah, it was just supposed to be kind of a tech toy. And the problem is you can stream anything that you're playing to Twitch. And because it was shooting people's living rooms, it created a very easy, I don't know if it's a loophole necessarily, it created a very easy way to just use your PlayStation 4 to stream to Twitch without using a computer setup or anything.
You didn't have to have little robots present. You can just be on the TV.
Right, exactly.
Use it as your own personal like web stream.
So the issue with that was that it got kind of weird and kind of dark quick. Nudity, sex, questionable situations, and that's not something that Sony wants to be associated with. That's not something that Twitch wants definitely, to be associated with, definitely. So Twitch banned the streaming of that until they can figure it out. It's one of those situations where it occurred and you wonder how they didn't foresee this happening before it happened. Because the whole thing of the PlayStation 4, the big thing was, you know, I mean, ever since the original press conference was the share button, you know, and the ability to share things and the streaming thing.
It's the streaming.
So you can share anything. So, of course, if you give people the ability to take video of themselves and put it on a website that easily, you're going to get a bunch of people who are, not even necessarily always intoxicated, but just people who are just going to record and stream the stupidest idea that comes to their head.
It's not just that, though. It's the fact that it's not like, or you can stream yourself, and then, like, if I stream on Ustream and no one knows who I am, no one's going to see it.
Right.
You have children streaming, and they're easily found. Like, you can go on Twitch and find, oh, who's streaming Playroom right now? And I guess people, once they realize what this is doing, like, for example, I saw a video on YouTube, like, the best of the Playroom videos. The same troll was saying nasty and mean shit in all these different rooms, different people.
Right, because when you stream, it puts a chat window up to the side, and people can comment in. So, yeah, there's very little in the way of barriers. If it could be done so that there was some sort of control, so that adults only, children only, et cetera, and there's moderators, it might be one thing. But they didn't have any of that in place out of the gate, which just led to this huge freaking mess.
Yeah. And so, like, there's one story about there was a young kid at home, I guess, home alone for whatever reason, using this, and people leaving comments like, oh, I'm outside your window right now, take a look.
Yeah.
And it's just like, just the fact that you can potentially harass children or potentially psychologically abuse children like that. Not to say anything about the parents who shouldn't know what the hell their kids are doing, but the fact that that's there, that's really bad news. And again, I didn't know this thing even existed until I saw the news story. I'm like, Playroom, I'm like, okay.
Well, I had heard about it when it happened, and my problem was, this is coming after Nintendo had the problem with Swapnote, which we have discussed on a previous podcast, and well, what happened with that was awful. I was like, well, you know, Nintendo's really kind of gone out of their way to put things in place to kind of make sure these things don't happen. Sony didn't have any of that in place. You know, it's just a free-for-all. You know, anyone could find anyone. There was no friend code system, no security, knowing that it was only a friend watching, and, I don't know, I guess, you know, there's not a whole lot more to say other than I'm blown away that something like that was even allowed out of the gate.
And I think for something like this, even if they put, like, a few extra steps just for this one game, that would have been nice. Because this isn't just, like, I hit it by accident and you can see me shoot an alien. This is, I hit it by accident and you can see me in my underwear. You know, there's actually, again, there's this YouTube thing where it's, like, the best of the Playroom. There's a few times where people go, we're on TV right now? So even, just the fact that if you're over someone's house, they could be streaming it and you have no idea and you're in the shot. It's a whole privacy issue too.
Yeah.
It just sounds like a mess. And again, it's one of those things they should have. Not one person said, "Hey guys, what if someone uses this either in a weird way or whatever?" And I'm glad Twitch shut it down. It's good that they did. Who the hell needs you? The game itself is just a tech demo for the most part. You don't even need to be streaming that anyway.
Right.
You know,
it's the same. It may be a little bit more advanced, but it's the same iToy bullshit they've been putting out since day one. Yeah. And yeah, it's not like anyone's missing anything profound by this going away.
Well, you can still play the game, so
they
just
can't stream it, which is fine. Good. Yeah. I bet you they see no one playing it at this point because of that.
Yeah, I saw one guy just like trying to like pretend that he was like, you know, like on the mount doing a gospel and like talking and preaching, and it's just like, come on, really? It's just instant attention. Again, it wouldn't be as bad as if it was like personal, where, you know, no one knows who I am. Three people are watching. There it is. What always happens? There's the advertisements. It's one of those things where like little kids on, and there's like 100 viewers that have just found it, or a person's on it, and there's 300 viewers that right. found it. All of a sudden, it's not private anymore. So it's just a funny, weird thing that it's weird that we can never even have that conversation in this day and age where it's like, oh, I'm streaming instantly and I can use it to take clothes off a girl and get in trouble. It's just like a weird place we're at with video gaming.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Wonder Woman. Cast in Batman versus Superman. I know we talked about Batman versus Superman before. You didn't like it. I thought it was popcorn fun. Like 6 out of 10 movie. Doesn't, you know, don't want to watch it again.
I don't think you saw that movie because it's not out yet. I think you're talking about
Superman. Right. Yeah, yeah, same thing. See, it's all the same franchise world.
Just talk about it.
So they cast someone as Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot, who was I think she's Israeli, and she won a beauty pageant like 10 years ago. You have any thoughts on this? So obviously this wants to be like their sort of like try to introduce all the DC characters.
Yeah, I have some fucking thoughts on this. I think Zack Snyder's a piece of shit, and I think the idea of him getting his hands on Wonder Woman is atrocious.
Literally,
there's no way that Zack Snyder can possibly do a believable, strong female character. He's a sack of crap. I mean, Sucker Punch was bullshit. And
why was Sucker Punch bullshit?
Because it's exploitive. It's just he can't possibly do a character like Wonder Woman justice. I really loathe how that's going to turn out. And from day one when we did our first episode, I went off on Zack Snyder and
Affleck was cast as Batman.
Yeah, and I don't think he's a good director. And I thought his Superman story was miserable, but he's not good at giving characters anything. He's particularly bad at female characters, and you know, the Superman Batman thing, fine, whatever. I was over it, but it's going to be really unfortunate to see how that all pans out. Not to mention, it's just you're going straight from a Superman flick to a flick that is Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman. None of those should be bit characters. Those are all strong leads, and the movie's just gonna be 2.5 hours of fucking nonsense.
You know they're gonna add in like Green Lantern too, or someone else. They have to. I mean, what's the point of adding in Wonder Woman if you're not gonna add another person, even for like a two scene? You know what I mean? Like, it reminds me of remember the awesome Grayson trailer, 5 minute movie that came out like 9 years ago. You ever see that on YouTube?
No.
Basically, it's like it was really cool. A guy did it by himself. And he even cast Diamond Dallas Page's wife as Catwoman in it. And like, it starts off where like it's an Elseworld tale. Guy made it himself. Where like, look it up on YouTube if you haven't seen it, people. Batman gets killed. Dick Grayson comes out of retirement as Robin. He's married to a Batgirl. Then when he comes out, Joker comes out of the woodwork. Penguin comes back. Then all of a sudden, near the last minute of this 5 minute trailer, which is really cool. Again, it was made in probably like a few $1,000s. Superman shows up, and of course it's bad Superman. Then Green Lantern shows up out of the blue. Then Wonder Woman shows up, and you're like, what the hell is going on? And that sounds like that's what this movie's gonna be like. They're gonna try to cram everyone in to try to do a Justice League movie in like 4 years. And unlike Marvel, we've gone on this before, Marvel took 4 full years of movies, 6 years of development in order to get to a huge Avengers movie, painstakingly to get there.
Right.
Warner Brothers, for some reason, who have all the character rights, there shouldn't be an issue. They can't do it. They've been trying to do a Wonder Woman movie for like 9 years. They've been. I remember seeing it. They tried to do the pilot, the TV show, a few years ago. and they shot the pilot. It never got put on TV. They did the Green Lantern movie, which was literally a mediocre movie, 5 out of 10. Like, it was literally not good or bad. It was nothing. I don't think they're going to do another one.
Literally, it doesn't exist.
Literally, it doesn't have to exist.
It's just in thin air. It's gone.
How the movie is, though. Have you heard anyone talk about Green Lantern, the movie, in the past? No. No one talks about it, because it's like, it shouldn't even exist. Because that's how, like, run-of-the-mill it was. They try to emulate, like, all the Marvel movies and their structure and the tone and just... Ryan Reynolds did a great job for what was written, but it was a nothing movie. So that was a failure. So it's like they don't know where to go. They're supposed to do the George, was it, what's his name? George Miller was supposed to do a Justice League movie like 6 years ago. That was supposed to be the big, huge thing. That never happened. They were in pre-development with that, and so it's like, what the hell's going on over there? Like, what is it?
I think to a degree it's you know, it's where Marvel movies were at in like the night. I mean, no one knows how to handle these characters, and they need a strong team behind them to really do what Marvel's done with their movies. But Zack Snyder's not the way of the future, folks. And him handling Wonder Woman just kind of makes me queasy and sick inside, and I wasn't going to see the movie to begin with, but there's no way I'm going to see it.
Well, I don't think she's going to be a main character like Batman's going to be. I think she'll be like a few scenes. She'll show up for...
Oh, good. She'll be arm candy for someone. Great.
I don't
fucking mean, fantastic.
No, that doesn't mean that. Maybe like how Hawkeye was in Avengers. He's there a few scenes, and he's there at the end, and maybe they're fighting off Lex Luthor as a team. Maybe it's going to be the mini JLA movie where they're going to have like five guys. You're going to get like Hawkman in there, and maybe... Plastic Man shows up for a second. I don't know.
I would just like to insert a disclaimer. My feelings on Zack Snyder are an opinion. They are
not you don't have to be sued. It's just an opinion. You're not stating anything that's fact.
You know, well, someone will tell me I am.
Fact, he can't do any dramatic directing. I mean, you
know, like... Oh, God, he's awful.
But who they cast, though? We talked about this a little bit. Like I said, she's real thin. Like, she's like probably... I don't know her height, but she looks like if she's 5'9", she wears 105 pounds at most. Like, she is really thin. And I know you can bulk up to a degree. That's a lot of bulking to do. If you don't have a large frame, it's hard to just add muscle, you know, to it. You know what I mean? To get to that. Like, Linda Hamilton, she was, like, not just stacked. She was, you know, big. She had a nice frame for Wonder Woman back in the late
70s. And pretty.
And good looking, yeah.
And this is, once again, my issue is... I don't think Snyder's really looking for the person who fits the character. He's looking for...
Pretty face?
A pretty face.
And that's what she is. She looks... I mean, she's
pretty. Yeah, she's pretty, but she's not Wonder Woman.
This picture, she doesn't have to wear a bra, so... That's Wonder Woman fans will like that. I hate to say it, Wonder Woman does usually have big bazoomas, but she does. She usually
not
does.
Not always.
Well, going back to the 40s, she did.
Yeah, going back to the 40s!
What's wrong with that? I don't understand. So you're not going to see it. I'll see it. I think it's going to be weird just because...
Really?
You're coming... It's going to be... It's 2015. So that's 3 years after the last huge Batman movie. So you're not only to juggle people now saying... Because there's going to be a lot of people going into it being like, why is that not Christian Bale? You're going to have a certain portion of people that don't follow movie news that are going to literally be like, wow, that's a different Batman. So they're going to deal with that. At the same time, you're throwing Wonder Woman into the mix. And so while... At least in the Batman trilogy, they try to create this realistic sort of world where Wonder Woman could exist, and obviously now they're doing it where they can. So I think it's going to be a hard time switching it in people's minds. Okay, that's one universe, DC universe, now here's the other. Where Marvel always said, this is one universe besides the X-Men and Spider-Man movies, because we don't have the rights to those, and never will again, because Spider-Man makes a lot of money. So that's all we have to say about that.
It's gross.
It's gross. So we're going to do a Q&A. Like I said, it's going to be a shorter one tonight. Q&A, hashtag CU podcast. We'll bring that up in a second. Eden does not take a bathroom break this time.
So no, I don't. I'm only halfway through my beer. It's a damn fine beer tonight.
Damn fine? Is this the other one last week?
No, this is different. It's the same company. This is Ballast Point Black Marlin Porter. I had a barrel-aged one with tart cherry at a tap takeover.
Takeover.
Yeah, Ballast Point during Beer Week took over all 21 taps at the High Dive where I go play pinball, and they had some beers that they've never done before, and one of them was this beer, but with tart cherry, and it was barrel-aged. It tastes like really good bourbon.
Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was awesome, man.
It was.
All right, so we're going to do... I'm not going to do every single one because I have to cherry-pick a little bit here.
Well, we're starting to get some repeats, too. No offense if you've asked a question that we've answered before, but... quick ones or ones that we haven't covered before? We've got a little bit of time.
This
is
from Slim Miro Kujin. Just want to say I'm thankful for the videos. I much appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving. Well, thanks.
Thanks. It was a good Thanksgiving.
It was a good. I was so disappointed. I ate the least amount of food. My eyes were bigger than my stomach. It always was.
Yeah.
But I ate the least amount of food probably since I was 9. And I'm not even kidding. I had one plate of food and I was stuffed and I was like literally like mad at myself. I was like,
yeah.
I want seconds of turkey and stuffing.
I had one plate over at I'm
getting old
over at Trigg's house, and there was so much other good stuff that I missed. And earlier in the day, I made pig nuts. It's a specialty I make. It's
pig nuts.
Yes, you marinate water chestnuts overnight in a solution of water and apple cider vinegar, and then you marinate bacon in brown sugar, and then you wrap up the water chestnuts in the bacon, and you bake them off until they're gooey and crispy. And I ate a shitload of those too.
Sounds good.
That's good.
And then I had Frank made sweet potato pie, which actually was really good. The only thing about sweet potato pie is that it's not hugely far from pumpkin for me, so it's like you can't have both. So there wasn't any pumpkin, but there was sweet potato pie. But I like having pumpkin because usually I have one pumpkin pie a year, you know, so it's like, you know what I mean? It's like almost like you have to have it at Thanksgiving.
I do make pumpkin pie. Or not pumpkin pie, sweet potato pie. It's mm-hmm. the one pie that I do make, and I like it better than pumpkin. I like the texture better. It's creamier.
But it's the same. It's
but yeah, you can do with one or the other. Yeah,
it's close enough. This is from at Cassin Simo. Do you guys have any recommendations for great Christmas themed retro video games except Christmas Nights, which I don't know what that even is.
You don't know what Christmas Nights is?
No, what is that?
Jesus Christ, it's like three levels of nights decorated as Christmas. It's classic.
Oh yes, it's hard to find, right? I did hear about that.
My patience for you is hard to find right now.
Have you ever come across that?
Yeah, once in a blue moon.
Okay.
Yeah, it is hard to find. Other than that, I can't think of any real Christmas. Oh, James Pond 2 Operation Robocod is not only a great game for the Sega Genesis, it's 100% Christmas themed.
The Christmas Nights, that was a giveaway in a magazine? Was that how they gave that away?
I don't remember how it came out.
It was like Sega magazine?
Yeah, it might have been. It was also, but it was, it's basically a short demo. It's a short Christmas themed demo of the actual game.
Once you said what it was, I was like, Christmas Nights. Yeah, Nights in the Dream. Okay. This is from at Gutsant. Do you think the Final Fantasy series has jumped the shark?
Yes.
If so, when which entry began the decline?
10.
Okay.
There we go. Answer is done.
Is Ian a Manchester fan? From at David Snoozegrop.
Manchester United or Manchester City?
I'm guessing the team because I don't.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of the town?
I don't actually follow a whole lot of UK soccer.
There you go. At Sylvester 41596, if you could make it an actually good game based off a movie, which movie would you choose? Big Lebowski.
An actually good game based off a movie. We kind of covered this before. Bloodsport. Bloodsport would.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I would totally love to see a Bloodsport game that was actually done well.
At Ryu Wilson, do either of you plan on playing Link Between Worlds for 3DS?
I might.
Or in past case, do you plan on opening your 3DS? I would. But I'd rather get the XL. They're on sale. I went to, they only had pink ones left, so I didn't get it. You probably would. They had them on sale for $150 for the XL at Target over the weekend.
You should have got one so we can play next to each other when we're on the plane.
I'll get one before that. I'll get one before that.
Link Between Worlds, my girlfriend is enjoying it. Her brother's loving it. My boss beat it in like 3 days. It's the first Portal game he's played in like 4 years. It looks really good. I don't know if I'll get
to
it.
How we play each other on the plane is it has its own private Wi-Fi thing?
Yeah.
That sense? Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Ooh, DS Lite doesn't even have that, does it?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, I have DS Lite.
There's been connection on all the DSs.
Do you have DS Lite?
Not anymore.
Oh. Damn it, we could have played. I'll get one.
Just open your 3DS. Okay. You have one.
But I want the extra...
Problem solved.
I want the bigger screen and the extra thumbstick.
There is no extra thumbstick.
There isn't. We get the bigger screen and the battery life's bigger.
Holy crap.
All right. What's a good price point? What do they usually go for? $220? Or 200?
200. We sell them used for 150.
All right.
I'll let you know if I get one in.
Okay. And I'll just sell the other one. That's from you. If you have any game based on any team, okay, we answered that. At Myth Real Mage, do you ever think you'll stop playing video games? No. No cutoff age for gamers. Don't have to answer that one. At Deacon Despair, if you can wipe out one game franchise or type of game out, Terminator style, what one and why? I don't think I should have that power.
No, I mean, everyone's entitled to like what they like. There's nothing that I would wipe out entirely because I can wipe it up by simply not playing it.
Exactly. That's the difference between, like, people that complain about, oh, I don't like listening to that radio show, it's bad. It's like, then don't listen. It doesn't exist if it's not there. As much as I harp about how I hate the Call of Duty franchise, I don't wish people not to have that to play.
Right.
If people I just think it's garbage.
If people want to play it, then they can play it. I won't.
They can waste their money on the same freaking game year after year. This is from at It's Rocket Sauce. Why do you think there's such a hate among gamers for the Wii U? I don't think there's a lot of hate. I think it's just the typical, whoa, it's for babies because I like the PS4 or Xbox One.
What I see from people who don't have one, it's not hate, it's frustration. I think at this point people wish that the Wii U would do well. I think people want to see Nintendo do a console that counts as a real modern-day console and exists. So I don't think it's hate. I think it's a lot of exasperation over, why can't they just get this right? Especially because they knock it out of the park with their handhelds every time. Yeah. They always do. And the Wii U had a lot of potential, but Nintendo does stupid things. Like, they downplay the importance of things like technology, and they underpower their systems, which causes certain games to not be ported to their systems, which means that certain gamers won't buy them.
But it makes them profitable.
It does, but this time around, unlike the Wii, this time around it's not working. And it's a shame.
Well, it's the same thing that happened with 3DS. The first year there was no game, so people stayed away for the first year.
Yeah, but that doesn't work anymore for the Wii U. The Wii U is far, far worse shaped than the 3DS was.
Once Brawl comes out, that's going to help a decent amount.
No, because it's coming out for the 3DS as well.
So you think people just get that version instead of the one on Wii U?
Yeah, you can take it anywhere you want and play.
But for people that want to play it in tournaments and get good at it or multiplayer, you're gonna want it on the Wii U.
Its place, but I personally would rather have it on a portable.
I wouldn't automatically dismiss the Wii U after only a year. If it's this bad a year from now, then I would say it's in trouble.
When the 3DS was at this point in time, there was signs of an upturn. There is no sign of an upturn right now for the Wii U.
Give it another year. Then you can declare it dead.
I don't want to declare it dead.
Or at least on life support.
I'd love to see it continue, but I just don't think it's gonna make it.
The first year of Nintendo wasn't great. First year and a half wasn't great. What's your favorite third-party NES game? That's really a tough question. I don't like choosing favorites. I usually go by genre, so Rockin' Cats for Ian.
Yeah, that would be close. DuckTales. DuckTales, probably.
For me, it'd be Overlord. I don't learn how to play Overlord.
Looks I'm just going to randomly pick one here.
Tackle Killer Tomatoes? Yep, that's what it is.
All right, that's my favorite game ever.
That's a fun game. No, it's not. This is from at Deacon Despair. With product placement so common in films, do you think they'll become as common in games soon? Yes, I do.
It already has.
Is this good or bad? It is bad because they're not using it as a way to offset the cost of the games. They're using it as another place where they can seek profit. That's why it's bad.
Yeah, none of this is to offset costs. It's just more revenue generation. But we've been seeing it. I mean,
same with microtransactions. You're not getting any more bang for your buck. You're just paying more.
It goes all the way back to the NES. But, you know, starting really with things like, I love it, but Crazy Taxi, and then going into games like when Burnout Paradise had constantly changing and updating billboards, where if you played online every couple of weeks, it'd be like Subway 1 week, and then it would be like 7-Eleven the next week. You know, it's definitely happening, and it's only going to get worse.
Did you watch Turkey Day 2013? Yeah, I should have told you. They had a live stream of MST3K on YouTube on Thanksgiving. 24 hours, and then Joel Hodgson, actually, they came back to do bumpers.
I heard about it. Really cool. I didn't watch it, but I heard it was a lot of fun.
I hope it's recorded somewhere. The cool thing about the YouTube live streaming is that if you catch it at its beginning, you can still go back and watch wherever you want. But I don't know if it got recorded, but it was really cool. Space Mutiny was one of the better ones. It was a Mike episode. That was one of the ones that they showed at the time. I don't know if you ever saw that one or not.
I probably did, but like I said, last time this was brought up, I haven't watched since high school.
Okay. This is from at God Bubble. If you can put one game on a virtual console service from any past console or arcade machine, what would it be? Alien vs. Predator arcade.
Yeah.
We always come back to
that. I would love to see AVB ported to a download service or a virtual console. And you know, there's I can go for days. Rockin' Cats, Lolo. There's a lot of games that I would love to be able to
put
on.
Like, that still though.
Oh yeah, I can. I'm just saying, I'd like to be able to put on like my 3DS and take it with me.
Okay. This is from at Nate Wilcox 23. This could have been a topic for discussion. We still can do it if we want to talk about it briefly now, what would society be like if people spoke to each other the way they do on the internet?
It would be awful.
We wouldn't get anything done.
Yeah, you know? The anonymous nature.
The anonymity.
I pulled a porky anonymity. Pig there. Yeah. The anonymous nature of internet gives everyone, you know, false courage, and it makes...
For a lot of reasons, but we can get into later.
Right, and it's even among people who know each other, internet conversations tend to get more out of control for... because of the inability to read into tone, or just because...
False bravado, whatever you want to say.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's why I don't talk to... I love all of my family members, but it's why I don't talk about certain things online with anyone, even them, because there's a lot of room for misinterpretation. And then as far as the areas like, say, YouTube comments, it's simply because these people know there's no repercussions for their actions. So what would it be? A lot of fist fights is what it would be.
Well, maybe not, because that's one of the reasons a lot of people are tough online, because in real life they've gotten.
No, I know, but I'm saying the question is, what if it was like that in real life? People would get hit.
I think people would back that. That's the whole point. Is that, I mean, there's people that talk a tough game on different websites about me, and you know, the Game Chasers fans have said they want to punch me in the face because they can't deal with how I am in some of the videos. And on Nintendo Age, people say, oh, they hate me. But in person, you know, people that have talked bad, I mean, they don't say a thing. You know, so it's like, it is what it is. That's the way they can feel. I feel good about myself because I got picked on when I was 10. Hell, I was picked on. I was bullied up until high school. You know, but that doesn't give you, just because you have a chance to then turn around on someone, that's awful to do that. Use it in a positive way. Fight bullies. Don't become one. That's what I say.
Yeah.
This is too vague. We should just get vague questions. Sorry, but this is at 16-bit Edo. Which Sega games do you absolutely love and why? That's kind of vague.
It's huge. Yeah. We need to... question.
That's a vague. Want to skip it?
Well, yeah, it's not that it's not... There's not the seed of a good question there, but it's like, narrow it down. What's your favorite Sega Genesis RPG? What's your favorite platformer and why? Okay. You gotta understand, these libraries are huge and you're putting us on the spot. If we need to... It doesn't make for a good show if we have to sit here and go, for a bunch of minutes to come up with a response.
Appreciate the question, Ito. We'll answer it next time if it's more specific.
Refine it. Send us a second draft.
Yes, I've seen this destroyer. Matt, hey, Matt. I've been watching this year's marathon, so my question is simple. Pat, have you taken care of those label upgrades? No, and I forgot like two of them too. I know I updated this with a couple, but I remember there was about four or five of that. Every year I'm like, oh, bad label, and upgrade it.
If I knew, I wouldn't tell you.
The problem is like Cowboy Kid's too expensive to upgrade now. It's like a $100 game somehow, you know. So that's not going to get upgraded. But other ones I might upgrade. Ooh, like this one, like Destination Earthstar. I can probably upgrade that for that little nick right there. But whatever. This is from at Gerard 004. Is there such a thing as a good Chinese knockoff? Example, multi-game consoles seen at the markets and malls. I haven't seen... They're okay for what they are. I mean, they're multi-cart games. I mean, like, that's what they are.
What makes a knockoff system like that good is the same thing that makes a multi-cart good. It's the occasional weird or odd game that you find out that's worth playing.
Famicom games didn't come out here.
Yeah.
Weird hacks that sometimes they throw on there.
My favorite one that I ever saw was one that we had at Luna Video Games. We never put it up for sale. It was in the back. It was in the shape of an N64 controller with a multi-cart in the bottom, and it was called the Italian Brothers Super Game System. And that's awesome. One of the best names ever.
At Retroblog, what do you think about any developers using Kickstarter to reboot classic franchises they never created? For example, River City Ransom.
I saw this. My answer... Okay, so with the River City Ransom one, it looks like they're doing a decent job. Time will tell. But they do it is licensed. It is... And it does have the blessing of the guy who created Double Dragon and who created... the first Kunio game. So and he is a creative director. So it's not like they're. I don't know if this is what he was implying, but it's not like they're just stealing an idea and doing it. Like this, they went through all the proper channels to get that done. Doesn't always mean it's good. I don't want to sound like I'm always railing on them, but for instance, the Contra 4 that Way Forward did, or the Double Dragon Neon that were. You know, at the time, everyone was like, they're great, and now they're like, yeah, you know what, those aren't very good games. The Strider, the new Strider that's being done by a completely U.S. Development house, I can't remember which one, I'm leery of it because what makes those games good is the original creator's vision. At some point when they leave, mm-hmm. it's gone. That's why I know you don't like Mega Man, but that's why Mega Man always maintained a bit of quality to people, is because Keiji Inafune was always in it. So I don't mind it as long as the direction is right and they take lessons from the prior games.
This is from Megan. Hey, Megan. She's in the chat usually. At Mega5K, do you think that these generic multi-retro consoles will boost more interest in retro gaming or hurt in the long run? It can only, I think, be good.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why it could hurt. Yeah.
Because if you buy a system like the Retron 5, and all of a sudden there's a slot for a game that system you might have never considered, like Game Boy Advance, maybe I'll buy a couple of Game Boy Advance games. You know, like
I have to say, for business, it helps us. You know, if someone sees a Nintendo, and then someone sees an FC Twin for the same price, they're not hung up on nostalgia. They go with the FC Twin instead of the Nintendo. Suddenly, they're buying games for two systems instead of one, and it keeps them coming back. Yeah, there's really no negative to this at all.
Yeah, Retron 5 got pushed back, unfortunately, till 2014. But I'll get one. I'm going to get one. Three questions from Kodiak 2114. So I'm going to pick one. What are your opinions on the current state of WWE? My current opinions, I'll try to keep it short. The wrestling itself is better than it's been in probably 6 to 7 years. Since the SmackDown days where they had like Guerrero versus Benoit versus Mysterio versus Edge versus Christian every week. The wrestling, you have 20-minute matches now back on Raw every week. You have 6-man tags that are pay-per-view quality, like every other week.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, so that the tag team division is the strongest it's been since I can ever remember. They're actually pushing a strong tag team division where there's actually 6 or 7
tag teams.
Even
when WWF was big with the Attitude Era before it went into WWE, tag division was a joke.
They're actually actively pushing, and not just tags of okay, two guys together. They're actually pushing. Okay, here's two guys that will put them together. Like, the real Americans are Jack Swagger, who's a really good wrestler in terms of just competency in the ring, and then Antonio Cesaro, who is just an excellent technical wrestler besides being freakishly strong. He's probably the strongest guy, pound for pound, in wrestling today. He does a giant swing to Great Khali and other big guys. You're amazed by it. Like, he does it to other guys for 15 times in a row, and now people pop for a giant swing, a move that was popular like in the 60s and 50s.
Yeah.
So, that's good. They're actually pushing wrestlers that are good. Like Daniel Bryan is one of the most popular wrestlers right now. They dropped the ball, though, not giving him the title long term. They got it on him and had it taken off him. Now he's out of the title hunt. So
the booking is shit, but the wrestling is good.
The booking has been short term and shit.
Yeah.
The booking's not been long term. Daniel Bryan was so hot like two and a half months ago. He was like, wow, he's prime. So they give him the title and then basically do like a Dusty type of finish for the next night. They say, oh, the ref did a fast count, took it off him, killed all his heat. Like, just killed it. Yeah. After they built him up for the past like 5 months as like he was able to beat Randy Orton, he was able to beat the Big Show, like this little guy you wouldn't think. Like, they actually pushed him on his wrestling ability. That's what you want. That's what got CM Punk over and why they get the title on him for over a year. Wrestling ability. That's what you want. The fact that they're an entertainment company and worry about guys making these other movies, worry about this and that, that's always going to get away, unfortunately, get in the way of their long-term writing, which there is none. There's reports that the writers come into Raw and the scripts are changed the last day or last minute. You can't do it. You can't book that way. You have to have a long term. And of course, it hurts because there's a pay per view every month. They're never going to reduce the pay per views. Even 8 a year would be good instead of 12. They're never going to do that, though. They're never going to do that.
Yeah, I've always felt that you don't need one a month. But in terms of booking, you don't need one a month. In terms of revenue, they're always going to do one a month. As far as I haven't watched any of the current product. I have been actually getting back into wrestling a little bit lately, watching old pay-per-views and having a lot of fun with it.
Oh, yeah.
But
they're all on YouTube, which is great.
Yeah, exactly. So that's been a lot of fun, but I still haven't bothered, mainly because I don't have cable or any easy way unless I were to download a torrent of the previous night's Raw to watch it, and I'm not going to bother.
This is from at Cartridge Brothers. Is Nintendo held to a higher standard than other younger game companies, or are they given more leeway? I think they are held to a higher standard.
Yes, I agree.
For example, like the Wii U, if that was any other company, people would be like, well, they're doing well for what they are. You know, like Ouya. Like, no one's going off on Ouya. You know, like,
yes, they are.
Not to the extent that people just play
Nintendo, though. You're just not reading the right shit. But, okay. But I mean, I do feel like that Nintendo is held to a higher standard, and I feel like their slips and falls are watched far more closely, and when Nintendo slips, it's immediate doom and gloom from everyone online. When Sony or Microsoft slips, it's forgotten about in a couple of months. Yeah. A lot of times, like, with all the bad stuff that's going on with the Wii U, people fail to look at how well the 3DS is doing. So, yes, I do believe that Nintendo is held to a higher standard, but definitely scrutinized more closely than other video game companies.
All right, this is from at Garrett My Desert. Helen, who's in the chat.
Hi, Helen.
Since it's December, what would be your favorite Christmas movie or special, be it from childhood or present, and why? Christmas Story. It's a classic. It's so rewatchable. You can watch it. I mean, that's why TNT, the past 10 years, 12 years, TNT runs at 24 hours, because it's timeless. It's classic.
A Charlie Brown Christmas.
Which is fine.
There's fine. It's only
there
fine.
There is a good Jesus message about remembering the spirit.
That's what I would say. There's a lot of religion in it, and I'm not religious. But the religion that is used in it is simply to get across a quality message, and mm-hmm. it's phenomenally animated. It's dark. It's funny. It's touching.
It's 12 minutes long without commercials.
It's 25 minutes long without commercials. You dick. And fuck yourself.
Wow.
Continue.
It's like Tron all over again.
Get out of here.
This is a repeat question, so I'm not going to say that one. Have you ever, at Seth GFP, have you ever played a game so bad that it made you stop playing games for a while? Example, Batman Arkham Origins is craptastic. No. I don't let one game get me down.
I just grab a different game and play something else.
What are your feelings? This is from at Lordovos. What are your feelings on the Dragon Quest series? Ian loves it.
I adore it. I like it better than Final Fantasy. But
I played the first one. It was fun. I got it for free.
Yeah, that's a good... Yeah, yeah. Base your entire love of the series on the first one, which has zero party members. Press A to win.
I'll do myself. At Slim Miro, could you... How about microtransactions? Terrible.
He's sneaking in a second question. Awful.
That's right. Their impact on gaming, the future, and do you approve? No, I don't like microtransactions. Bundle them and have a fucking PC add-on pack a year later then. Just do that. Microtransactions are terrible.
Yeah, that's what I think. I don't mind paying for extra content, but don't nickel and dime it out at 50 cents a pop times 18 times. Just put it together in a package and make me buy it all.
I'll make my decision then.
Yeah.
Craig Davies, that Craig Phil favorite Christmas themed video games. We answered that, I think. Or just ones with snow in it. Ski or Die. Because you have a nice... Why do they include the snowball fighting in Ski or Die? It's fun. Okay, I got one, Ian. This is from Kirkland Kovacs. What's your opinion on teens around the mid-teens? I guess it means like 13, 14, 20.
Teens to mid-teens. Sure.
Playing in like retro video games.
You know what? I don't mind it.
He hates it.
No, it's funny. It's when they come in to me, it's cool to. I have a lot of customers who come in, really nice, like 13, 14 year old kids, who are really into it, and they can hold knowledgeable questions or knowledgeable conversations with me about the topic, and it reminds me to a degree of what I was like at that age, because you can tell that these are kids who sit there and they research and they pore over stuff on the internet and they get it. And they're not in it because they think it's cool. These kids aren't in it because they truly see something in retro games that they're not getting from modern games.
They're also almost becoming like the new wave of like kids that get into classic rock where they actually want to appreciate the old stuff.
Right.
And see where gaming.
This isn't a 25 year old with a Know Your Roots shirt that he, you know, with a Nintendo controller on it and he thinks it's just some cool shit to wear. No, this is a kid who probably gets picked on for liking these games at school because he doesn't play Halo, but he knows his stuff.
And he's generally fascinated at it's almost like, it's weird. Cause if we were 15 years old now, what's the odds we'd be into these games? You know, because we're not exposed to it the way we are to the new stuff.
Yeah.
So we can't even put ourselves in those shoes, really. So know what it would be like.
Yeah, so 13-year-old kid, if you're listening and you like retro games, keep doing it.
I'll give him a bonus. He had another one just about PS1 turning 20 yesterday. That's cool.
It is. It's a system that I really like. I mean, you know, no one thinks of it
singular. Was it 93 it came out? I thought it was 95 it came out.
I thought it was 94. So, anyways, whatever. Probably 93.
I don't think it was 93.
Might have been.
we can't exactly pause while you look at your computer. You're like a fucking person at a restaurant with a smartphone.
I'm looking it up because it's like 2 seconds away. It came out in 94.
That's what I thought.
In Japan. December 3rd, 94. So, okay, next year it'll be 20 years old.
Whatever, it's 19. It's old enough to drink in some places. Canada.
It can be in porn legally. It's...
fucking gross. That's the first thing you think of.
Because what else can you do when you're 19? I don't know. Go to a strip club? There you go. I should have said that. This is from Narc. What is the meaning of life? Frank would say, do what you like, the money will come. Which isn't necessarily true, but it's nice to think about.
Isn't it 43? Or is it 47? I don't remember.
Which one was it? What's 43?
I think it's 43.
So long and thanks for all the fish. Okay, not doing the third question from Kirkland. You got two. favorite RPGs for Nintendo consoles from Bearded Gamer. Go.
Chrysalis. Magic of Sherazade is really good. If we're talking actual RPGs, I'm missing fucking some right now.
Chrysalis counts as an RPG, not
action. That's action. Yeah. Sherazade, Final Fantasy, Faria is really fun.
Just name them all. Princess Tomato. Just go nuts.
No, Dragon Quest III. Dragon Warrior III.
What Sega IP would you like Atlas to revive? He'd like to see Shining Force 3 HD with all the chapters.
Streets of Rage.
From Dear Someone, any flea market finds you didn't buy that you're now kicking yourself in the dick wishing you did?
Hello, John.
There's two. And there's only two since I moved to San Diego that I regret. One I really hate myself for because it was so cheap I should have just bought it and took a chance for $5. It was basically just the CD unit itself for the Trail Graphics. NEC on it, black. That it was just that. And even if it was just the one that's just a music player, it's totally compatible. I went home, so it would be stupid not to buy that. Even if it didn't work for parts, you know? And then I was like obsessed with that because that was the only time I went back next week. I asked two different guys if they were the person that they had it. You know, because I was so mad. Because what's the odds of seeing that? Just the square unit. Not, you can't play it with just that. You need the base to put it in. But never see that ever. So everyone out there, if you ever see a black NEC CD player that's square, it's probably the same one. That's a TurboGrafx 16 CD one. It's probably the same one. That's the one. The other one is not as big a deal. It's only a $10, $15 game. Yeah, Double Dragon for Game Gear. It's hard to find, and it's supposed to be pretty good because it's probably the same Master System one. Probably close. And that I didn't buy when I should have for like $5. That's really it though. Not a lot I regret. I regret buying things and finding out I made a mistake. That happens more rarely, but it still happens.
I had gone to a flea market once and I had taken no cash with me because I was really just going because it was something to do. And they had Rockin' Cats for $3 and I passed it up. And I was pissed because I'd always wanted that game. I'd rented a bunch and never owned it. Luckily, Pat solved that issue for me and got me a copy.
You're welcome. Thank you. Okay.
I've thanked you. You don't need constant praise. You'll be fine.
Appreciation and gratitude.
Yeah, I'm giving it to you. But yeah, so Pat solved that problem for me. It's not so much things that I regret. I would love to go back to the flea market that I bought most of my Nintendo games from in 99.
You probably would have bought them all.
It's not so much that, you know, go back, buy them all, make money thing. It's what was desirable then, what we had our eyes on in 99, is not what we have our eyes on now. And the guy who ran the big booth that I used to get everything from was really good at getting anything that I wanted. So what I'm wondering is, how many Panic restaurants, how many Little Samsons,
Bonk's Adventure.
How many Bonk's Adventures? I know I missed Bonk's Adventures because I never liked it as much as the original version, so I passed it.
So there, I know he that was able to get things to order, because back then all those games weren't worth $5 or $10.
Right, so what I'm saying is, I just, because what we were all looking for back then was stuff like Caltrons and Actions and the unlicensed games. Wisdom Tree games. And now it's all, you know,
late release games.
It's all late release stuff. So I bet you all of that stuff was sitting in those bins, you know, for next to nothing.
You know, you hate it. You think you had a save events at one point?
Oh, well, yeah, I definitely think he probably did. I really do think he did.
He probably had one at everything at one point.
Yeah, yeah. In the time span that I was going, and I was going weekly, he probably, had I really had the money to do a full set, I could have done it through this guy. And that's my one regret, because I've already sold off a lot of my Nintendo games. I have no desire to get a full set anymore, but had I been better about it back then and not was just looking for weird shit to play, I could have, I probably could have.
It's funny, because in 99, you can still call up Funko Land and say, hey, do you have Stadium Events? No, we'll call other stores or go online.
We got one, we'll transfer it. Right, yeah. Exactly.
And that's how a couple people think they said they got one.
Yeah, no, I believe it.
Because back then, it was probably like a $5, $10 game.
Mm-hmm.
Which I knew. You know what I mean? When I started collecting 99, I never thought I'd get every game. I didn't think. I thought, I'll get interesting stuff. So I go to Funko Land. I got a lot of the uncommon. Most of the reason why my collection didn't cost that much, because a lot of those uncommon games I got for like a dollar or two.
Yeah, Funko Land. You know, Funko Land pieced out a lot of their collection at under a dollar.
Yeah.
I remember people, you know, when I posted, we've mentioned it before, but when I posted on PSR's NES Pit, you know, people would be like, I spent $250 at Funko Land today and got these 20 games. And it's like, Jesus Christ, really? Yeah.
Especially when they did the buy two, get one free when they went out of business. Or not when they went out of business. They're getting rid of their used stuff in like 2003. I told you the story. I went to half of them in New Jersey, and then I bought probably 150 games, but I didn't buy them all. I should have just bought all the, you know what I mean? But I was smart. So they had Baseball Stars for like 10 bucks. I was getting $5 and under games, but I got a lot of them. Probably, I don't know. I probably got 150 games from Funko Land.
Yeah, it's one of those hindsight is 2020 sorts of things. But, you know, I do.
I still got a good chunk, probably.
Because I don't quote-unquote collect anymore, it wouldn't even drive me nuts, but I wish I could see a couple screen caps of, you know, that stand back then, just see what was in those boxes.
I still have all those Funko Land sleeves. I kept them all. I probably have a few hundred Funko Land sleeves.
Yeah.
It said, oh, this take. I'm like, okay. From that Craig fell, well, balls, my question already got asked. Another. No. Sorry, Craig. You only get one.
Wow.
Wow. Well, because people are trying to do that. I'm sorry, you have to.
Stern justice.
Yes. What DS games franchises do you think would benefit most from a 3DS sequel? My vote is Twiwi. What? How do you say that? Twewy.
I have no idea.
All right, sorry, Mike. Another repeat person. This is from at Panzer Jedi. I have a brand new 3DS XL that I got on Black Friday, $150, that I'm just returning to store. Do you want it? Yes, I do, Jason. I would. I would buy that from you for $150 because they had the cool Zelda version.
What's the game?
Well, it was a digital one, but yeah, still for $150 only, and a lot of people got it. Billy from the Game Chasers got it. That I went to Target to look for. I went too late in the day on Friday. It was probably gone, you know, Thursday. Like I said, they had three, I think, pink ones left, and that was it. And then regular XLs for $100 and
pink is the new black.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, I should have gotten it. And said Square could have spray painted it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But no, the sticker on. They had regular 3DSs on sale from like $180 down to $150. That's what they had. So yeah. They did both for basically $150, which is insane. Yeah.
Yeah. The biggest benefit to me of the 3DS XL is not exactly the screen size, although it's nice for someone like me. It's the battery
life. So, Jason, shoot me a message, my email address, pat@thepunkeffect.com. Yeah, I'll do that, and we can play in the plane, even though I have no games for it.
Everyone else send them pictures of your butt.
Butt? Thanks. This is from at CJonathan0329. Which Duke Nukem quote is your favorite? Okay, which one wasn't a ripoff from They Live?
Yeah, none of them, because they were all taken from better movies and better places.
Who Wants Some was a ripoff. Hail to the King was a ripoff. Chewing Bubblegum was a ripoff. I mean, what's left? You know? I don't know.
Actually, I had this discussion the other day. A lot of people, and I'm not saying that this is the case with this guy, so don't be insulted, but a lot of people who hear Duke Nukem now, who are maybe a little bit younger, don't realize that all of his lines are stolen from movies.
Most were.
Yeah.
At Classic Game Blog, where did you get your NES test station from? It was a private deal, the same person I got my M82 from. Do you know how many of them were made? That's a good question. I'm guessing they probably only made 1,000 of them because they only needed enough for as many Nintendo Service Center stores. And there were a huge, huge amount of those to begin with. There was one in one of the malls near me in New Jersey. There was one, and there was a lot of malls near me that I know.
Yeah, there was only one in Buffalo, and there's three main malls in Buffalo.
So you want to say there was maybe 20 per state? And that includes the big states. Probably there was probably 10 in New Jersey. In New Jersey, there's a lot of people. How many do you think there were in a state like Oklahoma? One or two, you know? So I'm going to say 1,000, just throwing it out there, because just for the reason why you don't see them on eBay too often. They come from eBay maybe once or twice a year. They're not easy to find at all. I've never really seen one at a convention or expo for sale. They probably threw out a good amount of them or got damaged.
Well, a lot of people forget that, because I had a guy who called me up the other day and he was looking for a PS3 kiosk. And what a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of that stuff, like test stations and kiosks, they're still technically the property of whoever gave them to you. You're supposed to send a lot of that back, and they destroy it. Like, the fact that you have a test station is unique, because that probably wasn't meant to ever go out into the wild. It was meant to go back to Nintendo.
The demo unit.
Yeah, and they would have dismantled it.
They would have dismantled it,
yeah. So, I mean, there was probably 1,000 total, maybe then. How many are there now? 500, half that, you know? Maybe 500.
300 to 400?
Sure.
It's hard to put a value on it, because every time they come on eBay, people try to get 1,000 from them. They never do. They're interesting, at least. Find a place of value on it.
Wholeheartedly unnecessary.
Yeah. I mean, they basically, all the different test carts, it does the job of most of the test carts.
Right.
I think it does the job of every test cart except the power pad test cart, I think. That's basically what it does. Because the test cart, they have test carts, one for the controller, one for the system, one for the zapper, I think. There's a bunch of them. This does it all with the Switch. So it basically has all that functionality, except, again, I think the power pad doesn't have. Maybe I can't, my neck hurts, but anyway, it's cool. I've turned it on. I never tested all the functionality of everybody, but whatever. I don't like it that much, honestly.
Wow, you own something that you've never used.
Craig's now crying. It's an answer to the question. Sorry, Craig.
No, Craig, don't cry.
And this is from Kirkland. He's following up. Ian, you're right. I am picked on at school for my knowledge of retro games, and I'm actually 15. Hang in there, Kirk.
Yeah, hang in there, buddy.
But if someone gets violent, you have to answer it with violence. I hate to say it, it's the only way to fight back against bullies. That's my advice. Punch them in the face.
Pop them in the nose. Tell them to fuck off.
It does work. They'll stop picking on you after that. Scoff. TWEWY is The World Ends With You, by the way, on 3DS. I've never played it, but that's his question about that. Oh. He's scoffing at me. So I'll give you a.
Well, then don't abbreviate. I mean, I don't necessarily know that.
And finally, from Helen, again, will you be doing the podcast before MAGFest? 2 weeks from now is the 18th. We'll probably do it on the 18th.
Yeah.
On the 1st? Probably not, unless we do maybe December 31st or that Monday. Maybe we'll fit one in.
We can record it into our little phones as we're waiting for our flight.
That could be really funny. It could be. All right, so that's it for this edition of the CU Podcast. It was only an hour, so that was shorter.
Not bad.
And we'll try to get it online. I'll be working on my DVD for the next week. The artwork's done. It's fun. And it's done. What? And so, yeah, guys, spread the word. The DVD is for pre-order if you haven't gotten your copy. Go pre-order it, because shipping is free in the U.S. if you pre-order, and it's reduced internationally. You save, like, $5.
I'm on a couple commentaries, but I'm not particularly funny.
And then a couple of videos.
That's
you're very entertaining.
Yeah.
So yeah, and if you can't buy it, that's okay. Spread the word around Twitter, Facebook. There's all little sharing tools on the Indiegogo page. I'm gonna.
You're a sharing tool.
I love you, Ian.
I love you too.
So we're gonna sign off. Any last words, Ian?
No.
All right then. We'll see you Wednesday, December 18th.
Goodbye
for another completely unnecessary podcast. This is Pat. This is Ian. We're signing off. Finish that beer.
My beer's all gone.